Hello, I'm Rafik, and you're watching the Garbled Twistery channel.
Hey, it's Garbled Twistery. And boy, do I have some honey bunches of fun for you today. Yes, sirree. Yes, today we're looking at the final candidate for 1808, James Madison, a.k.a. Billy Madison, a.k.a. it's time to play Mario Golf. Make sure your caddy has a leash, because it's time to rock and roll. Okay, it's time to start playing golf. Par four. So, Billy Madison was born on some slave plantation in Virginia. I mean, let's be real. If you were born in Virginia, that's where you were born. His dad shares his name, and he is the older brother of 11 other siblings, because apparently his parents really liked that Coldplay song, Clocks. But I mean, only six of his brethren and sisterin would live long enough to start paying taxes. But yeah, Daddy Madison had a lot of slaves and a lot of land. And in Virginia, that means you have a lot of power. And his grandpa on his mom's side was like really good at selling cigarettes on the street corner. But enough with this 23andMe nonsense. Where did the little tyke go to school? Well, starting when he was like 11, Billy Madison went to see this Scottish guy who was wheeling and dealing with other slave owners and charging them to tutor their kids. But yeah, with that guy, Billy learned what the number four looks like and how to say Taiwan in Spanish, and especially how to say Taiwan in Latin. When he was 16, he went back to the mouth plier house that his fam built a while back and studied with some priest named Thomas or Martin to get ready for college. And guess where he ended up going? Yup, Princeton. What? You thought I was going to say William and Mary? That's so funny. I thought I was going to say that too. What a coincidence. So he goes to Princeton and learns how to keep speaking Latinese and Greek salad. On top of that, he learns how to think hard about the universe or whatever. And he learns that individual people are individual people. He really liked yelling at people to prove his point. And he helped start an after-school cosplay club where everybody only wears a Goku wig. But anyways, Billy Madison didn't have time for golf because he was cramming super hard. Like, he got a 3-year degree in 2 years. That's how hard he was cramming. Even after he graduated, he freaking stuck around, though, because he wanted to learn Hebrew and how to do a politic or two with Reese Witherspoon's dad. I know. This guy's turning out to be a straight-up nerdizoid. Nerdizoid. Nerd alert. But yeah, he goes home to get his mouth pliers, and you know, he's down with the cause and stuff now, all thanks to Reese Witherspoon's dad. So Billy Madison's home now. He got bills to pay, but he doesn't know what he wants to do with his life. So he starts charging his brothers and sisters for math lessons or whatever. England's just about starting to lose its marbles around now. And as I said before, Billy's down with the cause, man. He also wanted to take down the Shotokan church because he wants people to, like, believe whatever they want and to always be ready to doubt the government, and establish religion makes people cray-cray sometimes. So, yeah. So in 1774, he joins the Paw Patrol because, you know, standing at the concession, plying the oppression, the usual stuff. And the local Virginia Paw Patrol was basically in charge of making sure the ragtag militia groups were ready to rock and roll. A year after that, he was cast in Osage, Orange County as a colonel, while his dad got the lead militia captain man. But then, Billy ended up becoming a delegate at the 5th annual Virginia GovCon. So yeah. Despite being all super involved with the cause and stuff, nobody gave this dude a gun. Why? Because he was literally a shrimpy shrimp man who had stubby arms. They are so stubby. And he kept forgetting to get his flu shot, so he was sick all the freaking time. That said, on the politics end of the war, Billy Madison was getting kisses blown in his direction from every direction. No, really, everyone thought he was a real hoot. when he was at Virginia Con, he got everybody to not just put it on the books to tolerate other religions. Nuh-uh. He's all about equal entitlement. Yeah, they like this guy so much that after the Virginia Constituti album dropped, this dude became a straight-up delegate and ended up working directly under the governor. And this is where he met his biffle, Tommy Pickles. So, of course, this man gets a ticket to Continental Con Part 2. But that con wasn't fun, because the T-Sippers were cocking their guns already, and everybody was putting their money in wheelbarrows, and everybody was in debt, and nobody was organized, and it was a hot mess! So, Billy Madison figured he might as well try to be useful and start at least organizing this money stuff. And, well, he was quickly fed up with these states playing fast and loose with these war donations, so he straight up went to Congress and was all like, quote, "Yo, we need this money, and they're stiffing us. Can we please get all this confetti out of the Articles of Confetti and just keep the articles?" Unquote. I mean, Jorge and Hammy Tammy were like, finally someone said it, but it didn't happen because not every single state was on board. I know, right? Irony in action, I tell ya. But anyways, after all the Congress stuff he was doing, he went straight back to the Virginia House of Deli Meats. Okay, so now Billy Madison is doing his Virginia Deli Meat Egg thing. And he's still ranting and raving about all this religious freedom stuff. He even wrote up a whole statue about it. And everybody really liked the statue. It was made of marble or whatever. So boom, everybody painted a handprint on the statue and poof, bye-bye Church of England. Oh, and Billy Madison got into the extreme golf course makeover business and bought some land and got matching mohawks with his new buddy Man Ray. So these are the days when the Articles of Confetti are running things. And Billy Madison was like super worried because none of the states were getting along and everybody was running the streets writing laws that said any old piece of paper was money and they said they could beat diplomats up when they visited. Yeah, Billy Madison was worried. And with all these states doing what they want, it was making it harder for Congress to even, like, speak French, let alone Spanish. I have a quote right here straight from the movie Billy Madison. Quote, "This whole America thing might be the greatest thing since podcasts that unapologetically mix up Adam Sandler movies, or the worst thing since Pixels," unquote. I mean, remember, this guy was a total nerdazoid, so he was studying every single law textbook he could get his hands on to try and crack this building a brand new country code. No, really, this guy was reading stuff in Swedish and Greek and Hebrew, so yeah, he knew what he was talking about. If anything, Billy Madison wanted to make sure nobody steps on the little guy. I mean, he literally owned 100 plus slaves, but whatever. Anyways, a bunch of people were getting all antsy about who was allowed to swim in the Potomac River. So Billy set up a conference and fixed that. And then he went to Annapolis Con, decided with Hammy Tammy and a couple of his buddies to set up Philly Con so they could freaking handle all the chaos regarding these Articles of Confetti. And everybody let him stay in Congress, so he actually got to help set up Philly Con in real time. I mean, a lot of people were worried about what would happen after changing the confetti, but everybody knew in their hearts something had to change. Oh, and Billy Madison, that smart cook, he got Jorge Washington to back him up about the confetti, and he got the most popular man in Pennsylvania, Robert Coral, to back him up too. But I mean, also, a bunch of farmers started shooting people in Boston over taxes, so at that point, everybody was like, yo, something's gotta give, yo. Okay, now I bet you're wondering what Billy Madison in particular was doing at PhillyCon. Well, let's just say he did a lot. A lot of what, you ask? Well, First of all, he was one of the dudes who was talking with King Edmund from Narnia and George Mason to make a whole freaking plan they named after some girl named Virginia. And it basically said, quote, "This bonsai tree right here needs to be perfectly balanced, so we're only going to leave 3 branches on the bonsai tree, okay? And any Congress or representative shenanigans need to be, like, proportionally correct to the state populations and stuff. And there can be a council that can be, like, super disobedient to Congress, and Congress can be super disobedient right back at them if they need to, you know?" Unquote. I mean, the plan didn't say that there would be one person on top of a whole tree branch, but that's definitely what Billy was thinking. I mean, this whole Virginia plan was like, throw out the confetti, let's get to business. Ha ha, those delegates were not ready to throw out the confetti. That said, since Jorge and Big Ben were all for it, there was a secret meeting to get all the confetti into the dumpster. But don't get me wrong. This plan was still barely a rough draft, and it changed a whole lot while everybody was yelling at each other about it. But I mean, Billy Madison gets all the credit, because he's the one who brought it up. No, really, he was running his nerdy mouth the most about it, so everybody just assumes he came up with everything nowadays. And the thing is that he's backing all that stuff up, too. Every stinking time he was in the debate room, he had receipts! Receipts! Billy Madison was in it to win it. Like, this dude really thought PhillyCon was gonna decide the fate of the free world, and you know what? One could easily argue that that assumption was super on point. But yeah, that's why he took the most detailed notes since Chris G's win streak in Marvel 3. Anyways, Billy really, really wanted this new Constituti to look just like his Virginia plan, and that everybody north and south would just shut it and be happy about it. But all the little New England states were like, quote, "What about us? What about all the little states over here like New Jersey?" Unquote. And then some crazy lunatic named P. Sherman 42 Wallaby Way Sydney was like, "What about us? We need to make ourselves a kind of naked compromise." So by the end of this crazy sing-off, there wasn't a whole council to fight Congress anymore. All the states got an equal amount of hype men in the Senate, and the states got to choose who was Senate materiae. And Billy Madison was a smart cookie, because he wanted this Constituti to become official at Comic Cons, not in the hands of those greedy, slimy state Congress people. He also made it so that the Prezi Wezi can get all passive aggressive when Congress tried to make a law. And he also founded the whole electric guitar college that votes for the Prezi Wezi, you know, to protect against possible New York City majority rules forever situations, you know? But I mean, at the end of the day, Billy Madison thought the state still had too much power in the Constituti. But at least most of that confetti stuff was out of there. But I mean, nobody really showed up to PhillyCon thinking, "I'm gonna build a whole government." Nah, everybody was there thinking about whether states should be able to do whatever they want, or if the feds need to keep them in line, or if it need to be some kind of give and take. And Billy was all like, "Listen, we need to be one nation, no drama." And a lot of people there wanted something federal to, like, at least protect their property, you know? The people who weren't too worried about that were mainly just there to rearrange the confetti. So yeah, when Billy showed up with that plan he named after Virginia, all like, "Shut it all down, let's take another look," everybody, even the people who agreed with him, rolled their eyes. But the thing is, if Billy Madison didn't do that, and didn't have the backup from the class favorites, and didn't have the receipts on hand at all times, the give and take way our government works to this day literally wouldn't exist. So it goes to show you, if you want to create the rules of reality itself, sometimes you gotta swim against the grain as hard as possible and have the receipts to back it up too. Mm-hmm. Keep it. You're at CVS. Okay, so PhillyCon ends, and Billy Madison somehow convinces his people that he really doesn't play golf. And it shocked everybody so much that they decided to let every state vote on whether this constitutee was legitty. And as we know, it was going to be a real Mike Tyson's punch-out situation because the anti-federalists are in town and they eat constitutees for breakfast. But Hammy Tammy and Johnny J saw this and decided to start up some partisan newspaper. But then Johnny J choked at the last second and Hammy Tammy showed up at Billy Madison's house to get some help. Yeah, Billy Madison ended up writing 29 whole freaking essays out of 85 for these Federalist PayPals, and they even turned all the essays into a freaking brochure, so whenever some anti-Federalist would raise an interesting argument against the Constitutee, it would be, pull out the brochure. But really, there is this historian named Clinton Rotisserie Chicken, and he thinks this brochure is the most important document in the history of political science that has ever been written. Or ever will be written in the United States. Jeez, who would have thought Rotisserie Chicken could be so intense? Billy Madison's greatest hits include Federalist Number 10. I already know what love is. It's representative democracy. And Federalist Number 5. Powers. Can't be split up with the checks and the balances. Powers. So, yeah. While Billy and Hammy were writing these crazy essays, a bunch of states were all like, yay to the Constitutee. And when Billy's hand finally started to hurt a lot, he decided he'd written enough and went back home. And he really didn't want to take part in the whole Is Virginia Gonna Constitutee convention, but all the anti-federalists were throwing a big hissy fit, so he felt he had to make sure everyone was okay. So yeah, at this Virgin Airlines Constitutee Con, there were three teams just like in Pokemon Go. There was Team Mystic, which was Jorge and Billy Madison's team. They liked the Constitutee. Then there was Team Instinct, who liked the Constitutee but wanted to spell check it. And then there was Team Valor, who thought the Constitutee was just a gormless piece of paper meant for the trash. Patrick or Henry or whatever his name is was Team Valor. Oh, and the stakes were like super high at this convention because 8 other states already ratified the thing, and New York is freaking New York, so they probably don't want to sign the thing because they like doing stuff on their own. And if Virginia doesn't say they like the Constitutee, then Jorge doesn't even get to be presi-wesi numero uno. But the thing is, Billy Madison knew everybody done made up their minds when this convention started. His game plan is to just convince the waffling wafflers, you know? Good thing he's buddies with King Edmund of Narnia, because Edmund was all like, quote, yee-haw, Constitutee, unquote. He wanted to spell check too, but he figured we'd all get to that later. Patrick or Henry or whatever his name is was going into this guns blazing. He was out here all like, quote, think of the children. They don't want to eat your rotten government oatmeal, unquote. I mean, he sounded very convincing, but Billy Madison straight up pulled out his duffel bag and dumped all those CVS receipts on the kitchen counter with conviction. I mean, how do you respond to that? So yeah, it was a long convention. And at the end of the day, this is what Billy Madison had to say to everybody. Quote, guys, come on, guys. We already had a convention about this. We worked super hard. Don't undo it. Like, come on. If you really have a problem with it, we can spell check later, unquote. So yeah, at the end of the ordeal, Virginia warmed up to the Constitutee, and even New York warmed up eventually, and poof, Jorge's a presi-wesi were up and running, folks, government time. So now that all that unneeded drama is over with, Billy Madison goes straight to New York to make himself all useful and stuff. His buddy Jorge wanted him to get a nice Senate seat, but Patrick or Henry or whatever his name is got the hook up so his anti-federalist boys can get in there. And you know what? Billy Madison was terrified by this. Like his entire political agenda. Was it going to end here with some no-name dude named Patrick blocking his Senate seat? Nuh-uh. No, sir. Billy Madison decided to try for the House of Raps, but you know what? Freaking Henry Patty guy was ready for that, too. He literally divided Virginia into different voting districts to freaking make sure Billy Madison wasn't going to get a shot. And on top of that, he hired Man Ray to be on the other side of the debate podium. Billy Madison knew a hard line, everything is perfect now direction would be silly, especially with Patrick Henry's shenanigans. So he promised everybody he would make sure they would have some individual rights spelled out or whatever. And well, that adjustment to his stance really worked out. He squeaked out his House of Reps seat with 57% of the vote. I'll give it up. The cards were literally stacked. That was clutch, Billy. That was clutch. So now that he's a House of Rep, of course President Jorge is going to keep him around to talk shop. I mean, they're bros. Billy helped out with Jorge's first big speech. He helped write the House response to that speech. He did most of the building of the three different styles of the kitchen cabinet. He helped Tommy Pickles become a fancy pants secretary. But anyways, what was he doing? Well, he helped write a bill to make sure other countries paid that delivery fee when they were trading. And a year after that was when Hammy Tammy was like, yo, we need money and here's what we're gonna freaking do. But you know, Hammy Tammy's plans were the kinds of plans only northern people who trade stuff on boats would like. So Billy was one of the people who was like, dude, you can't charge forward ignoring your neighbors down south. And this led to a straight up deadlock and a compromise that had to be made, and the whole U.S. Capitol was moved to the Potomac River, and it's still there. Politics be crazy. Okay, so now it's time for the first ever Congress to try to do something useful for once. And Billy Madison was pushing for all these individual rights, 9 or 10 of them made it in. And he did such a good job that they named this group of individual rights after him, the Bill of Rights. I mean, honestly, Billy Madison pushed for this stuff to be included because he freaking promised the people he would do it. But they also kind of made sense to him, too, though. He figured, you know, if these rights are on paper, then judges are going to have to try to protect them. So yeah, after reading 200 freaking proposals, he was like, poof, 10 unalienable rights. Take them.
Anemone.
It had some powerful stuff that the government is required to protect. People believing what they want to believe, saying what they want to say, having a party, all good ideas to protect. The thing that Billy Madison had a stick up his butt about was making sure the newspaper could say whatever they needed to say and making sure these courtrooms got juries in them, okay? I mean, nobody really complained about this Bill of Rights. I mean, it was giving the anti-federalists what they wanted without making the federalists look like doofuses. Everyone's happy. The House of Reps really liked it. The Senate made some last-minute tweaks, but then they liked it. What were these tweaks? Oh, the Senate didn't want too many of these rights applying to entire states, because then literally what's the point? And they didn't want to change the introduction paragraph to the Constitution, because come on, that's a nice paragraph, Cheryl. I mean, Billy Madison himself kind of wanted the Bill of Rights to protect the federal government a little more from the wrath of the states, but nonetheless, his fan base made a huge jump when the Bill of Rights album dropped, especially in the state he was House of Representing. So it was worth it. Yeah, out of the 12 rights he submitted, we kept 10 of them. Okay, so now that everything is all squared away and everybody's out here and agreeing on stuff and happy about the bill sitting on the right side of the conference room, let's put an extra pot of tea on the kettle, okay? So as we know, when Jorge was Prezi Wezi, the passive-aggressive drama was already starting. Tommy J versus Hammy Tay. Well, our guy, Billy Madison, yeah, he was the Chucky Finsta to Tommy Pickles over here, okay? They were Tekken tag teaming this situation. And it was this whole North Side versus South Side issue. You got North Side Hammy Tammy with all his get rich quick with the Brits schemes, while Billy and Tommy's excellent adventure was all about the South Side of things. So yeah, Hammy Tammy's trying to get his bank and control everybody's money, and Billy Madison didn't like it, because why does this bank gotta control everybody's money, huh? The Constitution didn't say nothing about that. Even so, the bank happened anyway, and Billy Madison was looking around at all the people talking about some Jorge Washington is the greatest man on the planet. I would kiss his left foot every day if he asked me to. And you know what he saw? You know what Billy Madison saw? Watching everybody put their hard-earned money in this bank and buying hats with Washington's face on it? Conspiracy. Yes, Billy Madison saw everything that was going on and reached the conclusion that Alexandre Hammy Tammy was planning on destroying everything in the Constitution and turning this country into a tea-sippers-on-layaway kind of monarchy. So Hammy Tammy drops his mad money report on the manufacturers, talking about some federal government controlling the money nonsense, and Billy's like, that's it. I'm gonna go make a biased newspaper. So he teamed up with Tommy Pickles and used a nickel named Philip to start up the National Gazelle, essentially to poop on whatever Hammy Tammy's selling. I'm serious. This is some passive-aggressive tomfoolery right here. I have a quote from one of Billy Madison's articles. Quote, I want to plant my own corn. Those other guys want to plant your corn for you. They're just like Britain, too. Do you want British corn, huh? 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 Unquote. But yeah, Tommy and Billy's tribe ended up calling themselves the Democrat Republican Party. Hammy Tammy's crew called themselves the Feds. I mean, we know this. I'm talking about their shenanigans every week at this point. 1792 comes around, Jorge's a shoo-in, but Billy Madison's team is really trying to give Johnny A the boot. And they tried to get Jorge Clinton to do it, but it didn't, like, work. So yeah. Tommy Pickles runs off to do whatever it is he does in 1793. Whatever it was, it's probably in his episode. But what basically happens is that Billy Madison is the substitute teacher for the Democratic Republican birthday party while Tommy's out. And this was like a critical time, because the tea sippers and the baguettes just started firing guns at each other. So now the parties that already kind of chose sides really had to choose sides here. Not fun. To top it off, the tea sippers are starting to do their whole kidnapping sailors routine. So yeah, Billy Madison wanted to like try to destroy the tea sippers and trade like a proper capitalist, because according to him, they need our chili dogs more than we need their dainty scones. But literally, the opposite of what Billy wanted happened. Haha. Jay Treaty! Yep, Billy Madison was so freaking mad that he straight up cut George Washington out of his life over it. There's even a song about it. Why can't we be friends? Cause you signed off on that treaty. Anyways, the next election comes up, and Jorge's sick of all the drama, and he's all like, bye, I'm out, bye, I'll talk about you all in therapy. And Billy Madison's trying to get his biffle Tommy Pickles on the Iron Throne, but he failed. Johnny A's in charge today. Tommy Pickles did get to be the VP, though, because that's how things worked back in the day. Billy Madison, though, he needed a break. So he went home to his mouth plier plantation thing. I mean, Tommy Pickles did try to get him the hookup to do some fun stuff with France, but Johnny A's kitchen cabinets were not having it. So yeah, it's around this time where the baguettes tried some wild shenanigans that started that not war, that's not a war. But just because Billy was out didn't mean that he was down. You feel me? Nuh-uh. Billy Madison was pulling all sorts of Democrat-Republican strings from the outside, you feel me? Like when Johnny A. started targeting immigrants in the courtroom and at the voting booths because of that not war, Tommy and Billy were all kind of like, whoa, this ain't tea land, you can't just target people like a monarch and use war as an excuse, bub. Tommy J. wrote this thing about KFC and talked about how the states don't need to listen to nobody for no reason or whatever. Billy actually thought that was a little heavy, even for him. So he dropped a quick Virginia album that said, hey, the states can fight back when they think something's ridiculous, but there's a process to be followed, okay? But Tommy's KFC letter literally made everybody, like, super mad. Like, we spent all this time rewriting the Articles of Confetti. You were there, and you're pulling this nonsense, bro? Yeah. Everybody forgot to be mad about the whole targeting of immigrants thing, especially after seeing that bucket of original flavor. But anyways, time goes on. Patrick or Henry or whatever his name is all like, I'm back, baby, and I'm a Federalist. Billy Madison got back in the game, too. You know, Virginia legislature, easy stuff. Oh, and of course he was helping out his buddy Tommy Pickles for Game of Thrones round two. He also wrote an essay that was all like, quote, Johnny A. straight up targeted the immigrants and was like super tacky because they were totally trying to punish the newspapers for saying what they want, which is totally unconstituted. But that KFC essay was also kind of tacky, unquote. And Tommy Pickles actually ended up liking that essay, and it basically ended up turning into the straight-up Democrat-Republican slogan or whatever. But yeah, we know how that turned out. Tommy won, because the feds were tearing themselves apart. But then, that freaking tie happened with Aaron Burr and Tommy. And Hammy Tammy, of all people, freaking ended up intervening and setting it all up so Tommy could win, causing a completely different set of passive-aggressive drama to start. We know this. But what about Billy Madison's family? He married a widow named Dolly Parton. Aaron Burr hooked him up. I know. Cute. They didn't pop out any babies, but Billy Madison did become Johnny Parton's stepdad. I mean, Billy Madison and Dolly Parton were like a power couple, okay? No, I'm not talking about Keelick and Shangwa. I'm talking Frank and Claire Underwood. Like, they were shooting for the WWE Political Tag Team Championship, okay? Oh, and when his dad died, he freaking got the whole plantation, slaves and all. And you know how Virginia is, so he isn't even treating those slaves like pets, let alone family. But enough about all that hullabaloo. I bet you're wondering what kind of neat J-O-B Billy Madison was able to score with his straight-up biffle in the Iron Throne. Well, guess what? He got Tommy J's old job. Yep. He was the glorified secretary, all right? Who cares if he doesn't even know how to spell foreign policy, am I right? So yeah, he basically got to whisper whatever he wanted into Tommy's precious little ears. I mean, so did some dude named Albert Gelatinous, who handled the money, but whatever. Everyone in France has to deal with the rise of Neapolitan ice cream, and all the Democrat-Republicans kind of realized that the baguettes they were eating suddenly tasted bad when they started being dipped in Neapolitan ice cream. So yeah, the baguettes and the tea sippers are firing guns at each other all over again, around the whole world, as usual, and Secretary Billy over here is like, ugh, I want no part of this. So yeah, as we know, Tommy's the new dad in town, and he's reversing all of Johnny A's hard work, except the bank. Mr. Gelatinous likes the bank. The Federalists were melting like Elphaba did in the first movie. Only a single Federalist judge survived, and that judge got Billy Madison in big trouble because Billy Madison didn't pay the Federalist peeps that were just hired by Johnny A. right before he left. You can't just do that. You can't just not pay them. It's rude. Unrelatedly, it was that court case where the judges decided they can check up on the other tree branches whenever they liked. You know, just to make sure they're in line. Make sure they're doing the jobs, you know? So yeah, Tommy Pickles is president now. And so the we the people are spreading out. Like, the pedestrians are living all the way out near the Mississippi nowadays, and Tommy really, really liked farmers. I don't get it. He just liked farmers a lot, though. So he was really trying to cut some deals to get more land for farmers to live on because he liked farmers. So he learns that Spain is about to give Fatty McFat hunk of land to the baguettes, and Neapolitan ice cream is super scary, okay? So yeah, Billy and Tommy sent their buddy Man Ray to Baguette Land to at least try to buy that town where Mardi Gras happens. But Neapolitan ice cream gave him literally the bargain of the century. We know this. Tommy J was also pretty worried about this because the Constitutie said he's got to be at the table for these kinds of deals. And Tommy was straight up about to make up a rule to present. But Billy Madison was all like, quote, "Be cool. Game face. Game face. See that rug? That rug right there? Lift the edge. Take this whole situation and shove it under." Unquote. So that's what they did, and nobody batted an eye. Well, except the Federalists, but who cares about them? Oh, and Tommy J thought that some piece of Florida was part of the deal or something, and Man Ray went to go straight up buy Florida, but Spain was all like, quote, "No way, Jose, we're keeping King Mickey. Go back to Kingdom Hearts where you belong, you freeloaders," unquote. Yeah, that didn't go well. So Tommy gets his new job on the Iron Throne, and at first he's doing an okay job keeping the baguettes and tea sippers happy at the same time. But then he blew off a treaty that was kind of super important to the whole tea sipper relationship, and American sailors started getting kidnapped left and right again, and all the stuff they were trying to trade with France is getting boatjacked by the tea sippers too. And instead of looking at that treaty again, Congress decides to just stop giving stuff to the tea sippers all together for the most part. Billy Madison thought this would stop the whole kidnapping thing, but it didn't. So then he teamed up with Tommy and got everybody on board with an act that basically says, quote, "We're not trading with anyone for anything anymore, nanner, 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 ever," unquote. But seriously, what a stupid idea. You think the New England Patriots are going to follow that law with all those freaking harbors and boats? Like, come on, America. Come on. You don't got that much clout yet. Okay, so let's talk election stuff. You see, as soon as Tommy Pickles showed up on the Iron Throne, everybody was hyping up Billy Madison as freaking Simba, okay? I mean, a lot of people were kind of turned off by this whole don't sell nothing to nobody gambit, but since the Federalists are pathetic nowadays, nobody is around to oppose him, right? Right? Wrong. The Democrat-Republican Party is getting the passive-aggressive disease. People are turning into squids, and these squids have recruited, gasp, Man Ray to their cause to stop Billy Madison from even getting close to the Iron Throne. Maybe you should have thrown away his treaty, eh, Tommy J? And on top of that, the Northerners really want to get Jorge Clinton on that throne because they really want a hometown hero up there. I don't know, guys. It's looking close. Too close for comfort, honestly. So let's talk about something a little more relaxing. Politics and religion. Okay, so if it wasn't clear before from the events in his life, I can spell out what he thinks about all this central government federalism stuff. At first, he liked it. But then 10 years later, he thought it was trash. Yeah, he flip-flopped hard on it. I'm assuming this is because Hamilton's shenanigans were really grinding his gears after the Constitution album dropped, and things were actually, like, rolling, you know? Yeah, a lot of historians are confused about this crazy pancake flip. I mean, he's not a professional wrestler, right? But whatever, that's my theory. I think it's Hammy Tammy's fault. Religion-wise, he didn't really care all that much about religion, to be honest. I mean, when they threw him in the river, he was supposed to be an angel can, but then he was taught how to read by some Presbyteria can priest, and he read a lot of dice roll books that all said, quote, God probably put all the dominoes in place or whatever, but he's probably not going to be stopping by to get any Domino's pizza, you feel me? Unquote. But whatever he believed, he was a real stickler about making sure everybody can believe whatever they want to believe. And he didn't want any priests having official positions designated in Congress, because come on, that's just ridiculously distracting during conference calls, you know? Oh, and despite believing all this freedom stuff, the dude is still a Virginian. So you know he's out here whipping slaves, talking about some they're necessary for the Southern economy, SMH. I mean, he wanted to stop importing slaves because he knew that slave labor running everything just wasn't sustainable from a practical perspective, not a moral one. He literally said, yo, we gotta stop importing slaves at PhillyCon. Notice how I said importing and didn't say using. Yeah, honestly, I just think he was scared about Haiti Part 2 happening. Oh, and also, he wanted the Senate scales balanced, and there were so many freaking slaves in the southern states that Billy straight up proposed to only count 3/5 of them as quote-unquote people. I recommend you put the people in air quotes here because apparently slaves are only considered people when they benefit in the state's political power. Oh, and Billy Madison also just wanted to send free slaves back to Africa in order to participate in colonization. I know, what a weird take. Why did he want this? He thought there was no way in the heavens and the underworld that free slaves and southern white people were gonna share Legos with each other. But I mean, also, if there's a bunch of free black people running around, the slaves might see that and actually pull off Haiti Part 2. Can't have that, now can we? Oh, and his thoughts on the original Native Americans? Well, they're basically the same as his friend Tommy's. He wants to indoctrinate them through lots of European splaining. But enough of all that. We have this 1808 election coming up. I apologize if it got a little intense there at the end, but you know how it is. The history is still the history. The tea is still the tea. Even if it's disgustingly bitter at times. If you've got something to say about this episode, about the podcast, or about, I don't know, cats with tentacles, you can find Garble Twistery on Facebook and Twitter, or you can head to garbletwistery.net and send a message in the contact section, or you can email moi. My email is Rafiq, that's R-A-F-I-Q, at garbletwistery.net. Also, I have Patreon, so if you go to patreon.com, find Garble Twistery, and become a patron, you'll gain not only the access, but you'll gain the ability to determine what topics get to be Patreon-exclusive bonus content. I know! Exciting! There are more details about how this will work on the Patreon page, but hey, there's more. If you become a patron of $5 or more, you'll get full access to an entire Patreon-exclusive season titled Garble Twistery, A Second Look. These episodes will primarily be remakes of my earlier, sloppier episodes, along with many entirely new episodes to tag along. And the suggestion box is open. So if you want an exclusive episode made just for you on any topic, head on over to Patreon. Anyways, next time we're here, we made it. Aren't you happy, folks? It's time for the riveting election of 18. No, wait. Woo-hoo! Yee-haw.
This is the ending. I'm ending it now.
10 unalienable rights. Take 'em.